Okay. What's happening, Roland? Sure, if we're on the air yet.
It says we're live. Yep, we're live.
Okay, well, we didn't hear the normal start. Well, okay, we'll go with this then. All right, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. Thank you so much. We thought we were having a little technical delay there, but I guess we are live. I'm getting text messages from people saying we are on live, so appreciate that. Normally we hear the introductory music, etc. Didn't hear it this time, so I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, we are live. As always, Jamal and I appreciate you tuning in on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, wherever you may be. Jamal, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. Not too bad. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Happy Sunday. Hey, okay, so today we got a number of things that we do want to cover. We're going to talk about these hate crimes, etc., with what's going on out there. And I want to give you some statistics so that you fully understand some things. We're also going to be talking about Gavin Newsom today. I cannot get that man off my mind. There's so much things that are happening with him. We're going to talk about him today. He's the governor of California. And the last thing that we want to talk about is his business with China. China is posing a serious threat to our nation. People have got to understand, and I'm going to be pushing this narrative, no doubt about it. Jamal, what do we got on blast today?
Hey, you know, I want to put on blast, man, Coach Gerald Williams. I don't know if everybody's seen that video. I'm sure it's gone pretty viral. The coach of the youth football team that was literally beating up a 9-year-old on the sideline. He was punching and knocking the kid down to the ground. I don't know if he made a mistake in the game. Come to find out, I thought it might have been his kid, which wouldn't have been great either. That was somebody else's kid. And the parents did not even want to press charges on this guy. But it looks like that the state's attorney is going to move forward and child abuse charges on this guy, as they should. Now, even more surprisingly, he got fired from his job where he worked for the sheriff's department as a counselor.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw the video, Jamal. That was really bad. You know, that guy came on and gave this weak apology. Did you see that apology he gave?
There's no apology that I want to hear from that man. Like, you know.
Yeah, he gave some weak apology, talking about the fact that the boy and the parents have forgiven him, and he wants everybody else to basically not be sending him any hate mail or anything because they forgave him, so everybody else should. I don't think we could have passed for that.
I think the parents are absolutely disgusted.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So today we're going to be talking about a number of things. We had one suggestion from one of our listeners from Information Into Me, so I'll be utilizing that as well. And, you know, we always encourage people to send us some suggestions for the shows. I mean, things that people want to hear. We got no problem with going through and talking about. I got a couple of things that I want to put on blast myself, Jamal, and I appreciate that one. One thing is Minneapolis. Now, Minneapolis is the one that started all this madness about defunding the police. You know that, Jamal? Minneapolis.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we got some statistics for the listeners. Listen to this. Minneapolis who was so big against law enforcement and the rest of that, defund the police and everything that they took the law enforcement people through out there. Listen to this. Arson is up by 77% in Minneapolis over last year. All of these percentages I'm giving you are over last year. Assaults up by 24%. Homicides up by 73%. Robberies up by 48%. And get this, carjacking are now up because of this madness that's going on out there with them looking you know, at law enforcement in negative ways and trying to reduce their numbers and the rest of this and defunding the police, et cetera. This is ridiculous. And you know, even Joe Biden is trying to get his base to kind of tone it down a little bit on this business about defunding the police. It was a bad idea. It's believed that a lot of these Republicans that are being elected to Congress right now, that's one of the big issues, is that this business about defunding the police. So we definitely have to make a stand there on that. So at any rate, for the listeners, write to your congressman, write to your congresswoman, write to your senators about this nonsense, or even the state and local officials and the city officials as well, and county officials also. So anyway, that was one. And the other one that I wanted to do was on Oregon. Oregon has stated, and if this isn't insane, that Jamal, they want to give out the vaccine. Now, the vaccine, as we know, is being given to healthcare workers and things of that nature. Oregon, I heard a flash the other day that Oregon is talking about that they should give out the vaccine first to the minority community, to African Americans.
What do you think? No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm good. I think we should try it on the families that are the people who made this thing first and see how it works on them. And that's what I think should happen. If they're that confident, then what's the problem?
What is that, before they started on the minority community trying to
get it? Right. Show me how much you really believe in it. Hey, and you can't start with your wife first because you may not like her. So.
We're going to move on from that, but I'm blasting Oregon on that. We'll see how it works out. But, you know, the good news, obviously, is that the vaccine is being sent out now. We saw the trucks rolling out this morning, so, you know, that's fantastic. That's great.
Have you seen pictures of the facial paralysis that is caused on some people?
Jamal, let's not go there. Let's talk about that later, off the air first, okay? Listen, we're trying to get people to understand about this vaccine, and now facial paralysis, what are you talking? I haven't heard that.
There's some people, you can look it up. It's called Bell palsy or something like that.
I'm familiar with Bell palsy.
It's triggered, you know, there's pictures floating around on the internet about that. A few people. I'm not saying it's a lot of people, you know what I mean? But
here's what I understand. They haven't even started doing the vaccine yet. So how can some people have Bell palsy when they're just starting with the vaccine and the trials?
These are the people that they tried it on.
Okay, I haven't really seen that. We'll look more into it. But listeners, let me just tell you something. Let's just look at this and think, okay, that there's some positives in this. It's got a 95%, positive tone to it. And all medications are going to have some type of effect on some people. It's not really for the general population. Anyway, let's keep moving, Jamal. Let's talk about this new district attorney. Jamal, have you heard about this guy?
Yes.
This guy, okay, is a, first of all, he's a former police officer with LAPD. And what I notice a lot of these guys that are in, that get to these levels of, you know, former LAPD officers, et cetera. Now, we did have one of the listeners to send in some information, so we do appreciate that. Now, as a district attorney, which is the largest prosecution office in the nation with 1,100 criminal prosecutors, 300 police officers serving the second largest city in the nation, plus 87 other cities, 50 municipal police departments, 10 million population here. And he stated that his mission, Jamal, okay, as stated in his acceptance speech, was the following. Now, just think about the numbers that we just put out here. That's a lot of people that he's going to be serving as L.A. County. And we know L.A. County is one of the largest ones in the country.
Right.
He's talking about, first of all, no death penalty. Well, Gavin Newsom has already put, you know, death penalty executions on hold in California. So he, to me, is consistent with what it is that Newsom, you know, doesn't want to do. But no, go ahead, Jamal.
I'm sorry.
But the death penalty in California, you got to understand that the death penalty in California has been up for voter consideration on numerous occasions, and they've never gotten rid of the death penalty. When Chief Justice Rose Byrd was in the California Supreme Court, this goes back decades ago. Matter of fact, it's around around the same time as the book that I wrote. That'll be out in March, just a reminder, readers on Amazon, Defense of a Serial Killer, that she got thrown out of office. California, as I've stated before, has one of the states where their Supreme Court is not for life. We can vote them out. And that's why she got voted out, and I think it was two other justices at the time that got voted out. And they got voted out because of this issue with the death penalty, because they did away with the death penalty. They got thrown out of office. Now here comes this guy that's talking about no death penalty. Joe Biden is talking about no death penalty and getting rid of the death penalty. And I just don't see how that works, all right? But I'll come back to that, because we have our email from a listener along these lines, so that'll be interesting. He also wants to reduce the incarceration to maximum 20 years for anything. So, Jamal, 20 years maximum penalty for any crime committed. What do you think about that?
Is that including murder or nonviolent crimes?
Jamal, he's reduced incarceration for a maximum of 20 years for anything, quote unquote. This is part of his acceptance speech. So in other words, nobody's going to get to do more than 20 years in jail. I mean, this is L.A. County. Give me a break. I mean,
you know how hard it is to do 20 years in prison, man?
Have you done 20 years in prison?
20 years of prison is rough, man. That is not no easy task, man.
Oh, I didn't.
So
you served time in prison to know that, Jamal? Where are you getting that from?
Hey, man. Listen, if you want me to really talk about it...
Hold up.
I went in there overnight, and that was enough for me not to ever want to go back.
First of all, that wasn't prison.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, that's the first thing. And you were down at Parker Center.
Right.
Some of you buddies got liquored up.
Yeah.
You weren't there overnight, Jamal, because I came down there and got you out in a matter of hours. That may have seemed longer to you. Okay, but that is not prison. Let's just get back to the topic. 20 years maximum, I don't agree with that. Okay, personally, I don't agree with 20 years maximum. The other thing is reduce incarceration. Yeah, reduce and eventually eliminate all incarceration in favor of releasing somebody for treatment or rehabilitation. So his long-range goal is to eliminate incarcerations. This guy is nuts. This isn't going to fly. No juvenile tried as an adult for any offense. Okay, that's always been a big issue about juveniles, whether or not they get tried as an adult, because in order to be tried as an adult, it depends upon the offense that you do. At any rate, I think that's ridiculous. It's got to depend upon the circumstances. When I've done some of my active shooter training, there was a kid out of Arkansas, I think it was, where he shot and killed 27 students, and he went to a juvenile detention center until he was 21. He was 12 years old at the time, or 13 at the time, and he got out at 21. You know, after killing all of those people. But at that time, they couldn't try him as an adult. This was about
right,
or whatever it was. No cash bail for anything. No prosecution for first offense. No prosecution for first offense. That means we all get one free bite of the apple, Jamal.
Right.
So if I turn around and do a felony assault on you, no prosecution for that.
I don't know. We mean different things, man. Because the research that I've done on it, the no cash bail system is for nonviolent offenses, nonviolent. Misdemeanors and things like that. You know, if you would have to be prosecuted or arrested for a violent crime, then you would have to pay bail.
Well, I'm getting text messages, email. Anybody wants to send me an email on this, any of this, you guys, just send it, you know the email. Send it to Jim Potts, all right? And, listen up with Jim Potts. Guys, listen, what we're talking about here, they're also talking about no police criminal records. So that means somebody could commit all these crimes and they got no record. Now, how does that weigh in that in the future, if you want to turn around, all right, and somebody gets convicted of it and they go through the sentencing phase, because they can't really bring it up in the original trial, but what about during the sentencing phase? So now they're sitting up here telling us that they're not going to have a criminal record. This is all pie in the sky stuff as far as I'm concerned. No compelling victims to testify. Now, let me tell you about compelling victims to testify. One of the things that came out with the O.J. Simpson situation was this stuff on domestic violence. And, you know, now law enforcement goes into an environment, a person has a mark, it's a domestic violence situation, then we can be the charging party. Just look at it that way. Versus the victim, maybe they got beat up. Because experience showed that sometimes these people, when it's time to go back to court, they don't want to go to court because they made up. So now the person doesn't pay up for what they've done to this person. So now is what they're talking about, is that you can't compel victims to testify. I don't know. I'm on the bubble, Jamal, because should we force anybody to testify? If you don't want to testify, in my opinion, I don't agree with forcing somebody to testify. What do you think?
I agree, man. See, I don't like anything done by force. If somebody doesn't want to testify, then you shouldn't force them to testify. It is what it is, you know.
Right.
I know it doesn't help out their case, you know, trying to incriminate someone or, you know, get a sentences or win their case.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, it is what it is. You just got to work around that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, we do a lot with employers on employment. So what happens when an employee steals a whole lot of money from an employer? They just get away with it? End of story? I mean, I've had those cases. You know, Jamal, you know I've had those cases. We had one where a business manager stole almost $1 million from the employer. Come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. No gang enhancements, all right? So you know what that is that they can't enhance the you know, the sentence and things of that nature. I mean, this guy's got a laundry list of things. I mean, I don't know what he's trying to prove with this. Go ahead, Jamal.
With the no gang enhancements, is that like kind of a reversal of the RICO Act? Wasn't the RICO Act, if he was part of any organized crime?
It had to do with organized crime, okay? So I think that it's affiliated. It's along the same lines as that, if I'm not mistaken, Jamal. It's been a while since I reviewed the RICO Act. But right. I think it's along the line. Look, the bottom line to this is, give me a break. This is a lot of this. And Steve Cooley, who has been on this show, I might have him back to talk about this. Steve Cooley has said that this is like, you know, he was a district attorney for 12 years. He was there before Jackie Lacey came in. And he turned around and basically said that this is a train wreck. For all L.A. criminal justice. I mean, maybe Steve needs to run again. I don't know if there's maximum, you know, for this or not.
Look, I think some of it, I'm for if people have done their time, is them having a criminal record, is that going to be beneficial to them in society when they're trying to get a job? Because if they're trying to get a job to actually reform, you know, because a lot of these people end up going back to doing crime again because they can't get a job. So if some of these things are going to help them benefit to get a legitimate job and live a legitimate life, and a criminal record could hurt that, then what's the benefit of
something? Well, here's the problem, litigation. Let's say a guy has a record for aggravated assault.
Right.
The employer hires him. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, on that job, that guy does aggravated assault on one of the employees. Right?
Right.
What do you think the person that got beat up is going to do? They're going to walk out of that door. They're going to go to an attorney. The attorney is going to turn around and sue the employer, Jamal, for negligent hiring, knowing that they hired somebody for that had that kind of record, hired them. That employer is going to lose that lawsuit. And there are cases on that, I might add.
Right.
How would an employer, as an example, be able to, because they do background checks. You know that. Background checks. So I think it's problematic. Look, here's the deal. Let's not forget. Don't do the crime. If you don't do the crime, you don't have to worry about any of these things. Just don't do the crime.
it's not always that. In a lot of cases, it's not always that easy. And I'm saying that because there's certain environments out there that's just harsh environments to live in. There was a football player, like for example, he's a professional football player. He had a record for selling marijuana when he was a youth, and he was actually doing it to help put food on the table, like literally putting food on the table because I think his mom was a drug addict and stuff like that. So he was doing things to help feed his other brothers and sisters. So there's some people that are caught in certain situations, you know, unfortunately, you know, and they can't get any help.
Let me ask you a question. What's a ute? That was from my cousin Vinny, you guys. Yeah. I thought we said youth. I said, what's a youth? I couldn't resist that. Jamal, listen, I'm not saying there aren't circumstances sometimes to drive people to some of this, okay? But that doesn't mean that they get a situation, Jamal, where there's no criminal record, they don't do any time, or they don't do this for... You know, look, this is out there. I don't know how this guy's going to be able to enforce this, okay? So this guy got elected, Jamal. The money was pouring in from all over the country for this guy to help push this guy into this office, by the way. All right?
Right.
I don't know, okay? So we're just going to wait to see how this turns out.
I think he has a lot of good ideas, and so I'm waiting to hear it all out. I'm like, let's look at this. Let's look at some of the things he's saying. I mean, some of the things, like he's saying, prioritizing cases, you know, for people who have excessive amount of time. Let's review some of those cases. Now, last week you did bring up the fact that there's been a lot of people who were exonerated and found out that they were not guilty of the crimes they had been convicted for.
That's the DNA, Jamal, and again, it's not a perfect system. But right. Jamal, this is wholesale. Those percentages that we're talking about with the DNA exonerations, Jamal, is a very small number in comparison, okay? What we're talking about here is telling the criminals out there that, in fact, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. These guys are going to get a free pass, no prosecution for a first crime committed, Jamal. You stand by that?
You know what? You say first crime, are these nonviolent crimes, petty crimes?
I'm only telling you what he said.
Right. Well, let's get more detail on it.
This is his acceptance speech, not mine.
Okay. I want more detail on it before, so I can make it informed.
You know, I'm only saying that with the way he's starting out with this. And look, I've talked about the death penalty before, and I've had people call in about the death penalty. I'm not an advocate of the death penalty for one-on-one killings. I think anybody can make that mistake. But for people who commit multiple murders, Jamal, I got no sympathy for them. Give them the death penalty. Hang them from the nearest tree, so to speak. Okay? Whatever, lethal injection or whatever the case may be. Okay? But anyway, you know, appreciate the listeners sending in this information. Getting text messages here. Imagine if Ted Bundy was released after 20 years. So kill someone, first degree, and 20 years, okay? You know, what if your own relative was murdered? Would you think that is okay? So there's different text messages that are coming in here. And by the way, another person is saying Bell's palsy, Jamal, is cured with antibiotics. So,
okay.
You know, so from that perspective, that's nothing, okay, in comparison.
Right.
Having the virus. Okay, now look, let's move forward. All right, I think that we covered that one pretty good. I'm not a fan of this guy, obviously, Jamal, a former police officer. I don't know. I don't agree with all of these things. But hey, listen, I'm in your corner. If you think that we should wait and see how this all plays out, fine. This guy's not going to be district attorney forever.
People
they vote him out and vote the next guy in.
I agree.
We'll look at it from that standpoint. Let's get into the email. We haven't even gotten into the emails yet. I should have done those first, but I got right in there talking about this guy because I also had the email from a listener. Let's get to this next one. The Supreme Court rejecting the appeal by Texas is just another example of Trump's election result being unfair. How could they deny an opportunity to show the election results were fraudulent, especially when so many of the other states backed the appeal? How do you feel about it? Doesn't the United States Constitution mean anything? That's from Jose from San Pedro, California. Jose, let me explain something. All right, first of all, I taught constitutional law at the University of Phoenix. And in LA, as you know, I went to, well, you may not know, I went to law school. You know, we studied, you know, U.S. constitutional law. Look, this is not that simple. Anytime there's an action being bought, the person has to have standing. All right, standing. In other words, you have to be the person that's been harmed in order for you to be able to make an appeal. Now, here's the problem. The problem is Texas would have to show that they have standing, that they've been harmed somehow. They have been harmed somehow. Okay, the bullet is harmed somehow. The problem is that the issue that they're bringing forward, okay, with all of those merits that might be good merits underneath there, the court can't even listen to the merits if you don't have a right to bring the matter before the Supreme Court. Now, one state under the, I think it's the 10th Amendment, one state can go against another state, and that does go straight to the Supreme Court. But it's still, in order to do that, you still have to have this thing called standing. All right? The standing in this situation is simple. Each state controls their own election process. For Texas to turn around and say that they don't like the way Michigan or Wisconsin handled their election process, they have no right to say that. That would be the same thing, as an example, Jamal, if Texas said, okay, in California, we can't issue driver's licenses. Okay, we're not going to issue driver's licenses to anybody over, you know, 6 feet tall, we'll say, as an example. Well, the state of California gets to dictate the requirements to get a driver's license. The election process works the same way. You see the difference what I'm getting to here?
Yeah.
And that's the problem with that case. Now, I don't understand how, you know, the Texas Attorney General, Jamal, all these other attorney generals all came in on that. Why can't they see that? I mean, the law is clear. I mean, Trump is upset with the Supreme Court justices, but you got to remember, they're not supposed to be a political body. They're not going to just do this because it's Trump. They're going to do this because what does the law say? These guys are all, most of them are constitutional standpoint, not from an emotional standpoint. What does the Constitution say? Standing. Right? You don't have standing, we can't even listen to the merits. All right.
Now, doesn't this boil down to the Electoral College and that final decision that's coming out tomorrow with the Electoral College?
We're going to see what happens. I think the Electoral College is all going to certify, Jamal. That's my opinion. How are you going to tell them for each state what they can't do?
Right.
I think it's game over. I mean, I understand what Trump is trying to do with all of this, but I think it's game over. That's just my opinion. We'll see. Jim, did you hear about that crazy Michigan representative who was encouraging liberals to go after Trump supporters? Where is the outrage, or is it only when someone on the right does something? The reality is we have seen this more from the left, not the right. Don from Terre Haute, Indiana. Well, that's true. For those of you that did not hear about this, there's a Michigan representative. Her name is here. See this. And she turned around and put it out. She did a video that went out telling her liberal followers to go after all the Trump supporters, Jamal. She's telling them, look out, we need to go after them. Now, why? I mean, what difference does it make? They won the election. So why do you want somebody to go after Trump supporters? Why would you encourage something like that?
What does she mean by go after them? Go after them how?
Jamal, you know what? You obviously didn't see the video. But
no,
she's indicating, in my opinion, violence. What do you mean by go after them? That's what she's talking about. You could tell it in her smile, her tone, and all of that. That's ridiculous. As a result of her actions, by the way, she was removed from all the committees that she was on because the leadership over her turned around and said it was totally inappropriate. So let me give them the credit for that, okay? Then she's got the nerve, after she's been removed from those committees, Jamal, to come out, and here's what she said. Shame on Michigan's House leadership on both sides. Get ready to apologize to me publicly. I mean, this woman is out of her mind. Why would they apologize to her for doing the right thing?
Right.
I mean, at any rate, so I really should have put her on blast, but because they sent this in, I'm responding to it. Go ahead, Jamal.
Hey, I'm just kind of curious whoever wrote that, and I understand why they feel the way they feel about that, and they should feel that way. But did they have that same energy when Trump told the Proud Boys to stand down and stand by? Ready for action?
Listen,
I'm just curious.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. I'll email the guy and ask him that, okay? I'm going to move on. Okay? Because we can go around with this, Jamal. Look, first of all, the election is over. So for her to do something like that, in my opinion, anyway, is ridiculous, okay?
Well, I'm just kind of commenting on the fact that the person said that it's only the left that does that. We had a president that said something that ridiculous, too.
Okay. Well, Jim, I know you have talked about the death penalty. I'll have a book coming out about a serial killer you represented that was on death row. How do you feel about President Trump executing all of the federal death row inmates before he gets out of office? And this was signed by Just Curious. Well, listen, I know what you're talking about. It's true. There's been some federal executions that are going on. When you say, is Trump executing these people? It's not Trump. Okay, it's the federal prosecutor, whoever's in charge of that, that's doing this. And this guy that got executed the other day, out of Louisiana, I believe it was. He was executed because of the fact that he killed his 2-year-old daughter because he got frustrated with her because of with potty training or something. They tried to appeal the death his execution date, saying that the guy was mentally incompetent and you can't execute mentally incompetent people. But that just didn't fly. All right, that just didn't fly. And he got executed. And I think there are more lined up. And as I said earlier, I really only believe in the death penalty when it comes to multiple killings. All right, not just on a single killing. That's just my belief.
Was that a single killing, though, when the guy killed his 2-year-old daughter?
Jamal's 1 2-year-old daughter, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what he did to her, I think, right. was really bad. And I have a note on that, actually, to give you an idea exactly what it was. I don't remember what it was. But, I mean, he brutally killed her. It wasn't like that. I mean, she's 2 years old. I don't care how he did it, quite frankly. All right? Look, let's talk about this business on Newsom real quick, now that we got through these. You know, Governor Newsom has to go, you guys. This guy has done so much. Okay, and Jamal, I know you called me on something the other day on this guy.
Yeah.
I'll let you go ahead and speak on that first. I'll talk about some of the other things.
Yeah, with all the lockdowns going on in the state of California, it seems that Gavin Newsom companies made $3 million or received $3 million.
$4
million?
It was $4 million.
It was a PPE. Is that what's called PPE?
The money? That's right. It was money from the COVID relief package that they sent out to employers. $4 million to some of the companies that he owns through, I think he has a blind trust set up. $4 million, you guys. Gavin Newsom, his company's got $4 million. This guy's got to go. Let me tell you some other things, okay? Now, homelessness under his watch has skyrocketed. He has transgressed one of the cardinal rules of politics, do as I say, not as I do. So we already know about what he did with the restaurants, where he's got everything shut down, where, you know, people are on lockdown. The restaurants are closing, going out of business. We have a client go out of business after 22 years. Those sad situations. And yet he violated his own rule. Then he expects people, he came out and expects people to leave their mask on. Now, there was no mask on him and his group that night, but he was saying that if you're going to eat at a restaurant, this is before the most recent shutdown, that you got to wear a mask, okay, and leave the mask on, Jamal, while you're eating. What you're supposed to do is lift the mask up, put the food in your mouth, and put the mask back down. Now, give me a break. Who's going to do that? Okay.
This according to Gavin Newsom?
That's according to Gavin Newsom.
The same Gavin Newsom that was at the party?
That's the guy.
With all of his friends and stuff, eating indoors, body wearing a mask?
On the coronavirus fight, he turned around and delayed a response, a critical response, where 300,000, that caused 300 backlogs of 300,000 virus test results. You know, he created some kind of backlog with that even. But there's other issues about Gavin Newsom, okay? So, look, I can't go through all of it right now. Look, it's what we're encouraging people to do. Do your research. But there is a petition to recall him. All you got to do is put in the system, recall Gavin Newsom. And it'll come up. You can get the where you can sign off on it. You know, print the petition out and send it in. You gonna say something, Jamal?
No, go ahead.
Okay, cool. All right. Listen, I'm gonna jump over here to this business about China. What time is it? You know what? I'm gonna spend a couple minutes on these hate crimes because hate crimes are still the big issue. I'm gonna start on the China thing this week, but we're gonna continue China next week. And before I forget. Dr. Potts is going to be back next week to talk about now that the vaccinations are rolling out, where they're going, et cetera. So we'll be hearing, from him as well next week. But this business about hate crimes, Jamal, this is a study that just came out. Listen to this. And this just came out. The study finds that low education and poor work history are the two highest indicators for both mass and non-mass casualty violent offenders. And that lone actors who fall into those categories are responsible for 47% of mass casualty attacks. The highest rate of mass casualty attacks are anti-Semitic, but the same group is the one of the least likely to be attacked by non-mass casualty offenders. Anti-black attacks are a close second for mass casualty attacks and make up the highest percentage of violent and non-violent hate crimes. Now, just to give you an idea, because I've got some percentages here also. Okay, so go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, I think it was feedback. Right. Yeah.
I keep hearing some feedback. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, anti-Semitic offenders, 38%. But anti-black, Jamal, 48%. Okay, 48% of violent crimes, Jamal, have to do with non-mass casualty. That means the local stuff, Jamal. So these are high numbers. Why is it so high in the black community? Why are those numbers so high? You have to stop and wonder. Anti-LGBTQ is next. Anti-white is at the 4.8. And anti-Asian, 3.8. Anti-Muslim, 9.5. I mean, so look, hate crime, you guys, is wrong. And, Biden has indicated that when he gets in office, he's going to end all of this. And I guess he's going to wave this magic wand or whatever it's going to be with all of this. To me, I've been talking about this long before Biden ran for president or Trump ran for president. This thing about hate. We got to work collectively on this is the way I look at it. Jamal, you got any thoughts on that before we get to China?
No, I don't.
Well, let me give you one more thought here. There were 7,314 hate crimes last year, and that was up from the year before. There were 7,120. I mean, these numbers are astounding to me. And it's all across the board. Like I said, I tried to, to be fair in terms of the percentages going across the board with this. But, these hate crimes are just getting too much out of control. And I don't want to hear anything about it during this particular administration. That is not true. These numbers are numbers that are statistically go back 10, 15, 20 years, you guys. Okay, so it's not because of the last 3.5 or 4 years. And these numbers are astounding to me, the hate that's out there. And, there's got to be stiffer penalties for these people that create these hate crimes. I can't put it any other way. Let's talk about China. Jamal, you and I have talked off the record about China. Yeah. People do not understand the seriousness of what's going on with China. Like I said, we're going to get started on this week. So this is going to be part one. We're going to finish up on it in part two. But let me just say something. This is not to make people paranoid about Chinese people or Chinese descent, people of Chinese descent. I want to make that clear. Even when I do my active shooter training and we talk about these different things and people from the Middle East, et cetera, and my diversity trainings, I try to get people to understand that there are people from these nations who are very good people, descended from these nations that live amongst us, that are here for all the right reasons, are fabulous people. So let me just say that. All right? So nobody should be looking at this in terms of that. I'm talking about the Chinese government, okay, specifically. The Chinese government has operatives all over the world. And it is amazing. Okay, Jamal, I sent you a video that one of the listeners sent me on an Australian, I believe it was an Australian broadcast, where it talks about the fact that there's about 2 million operatives from China around the world. These people are invading us. You know, and they're doing it by stealth, and they're doing it because of greed. There's no other way to put it. Now, what I'm talking about specifically are some of these American politicians, okay, who are feeding into this situation. And yes, we heard about what's happening here with Hunter Biden. So that's all coming out now. We knew about it beforehand. We brought it up. People were in disbelief. And now look what's happening. It's really, really starting to come out. Why? Because the election is over, and now people are opening up and talking about it now on all of the news stations versus just, you know, one particular news station. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. But look, let me give you an idea. Jamal, 2018, I'm looking at an article from 2018, all right, where I'm going to read this. As China's wealth has grown, so has its sophistication at carrying favor in Washington and among the American elite. Both the Chinese government and Chinese companies, often with close state ties, have retained lobbying and public relations firms around Washington, in some cases hiring former United States officials as personal lobbyists. What does that say, Jamal? Former United States officials. Beijing. Beijing has also learned how to harness its economic might by alternately opening its doors to companies who play by Chinese rules and slamming the door on companies that go against its red lines. In some cases, this grants Beijing power sway over foreign companies with business interests in China. This has raised concerns that current United States government officials may have had an eye on their future prospects in China even before they leave office. Think about what's coming out with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, Jamal. Okay? It's all coming out. These guys were on Air Force Two, flying over to China. All this stuff is starting to come out now. Why? Because I don't know if Biden is planning on running for president or not. Okay? But I'm not going to focus on him so much because, you know, the reality is, and there's nothing going to happen to Joe Biden. Okay? But Hunter Biden, he may be on the hot seat with this. We're going to wait and see. But wait a minute. Remember what I just said. This article's 2018, Jamal. Listen to this real quick. I'm going to read the number of politicians, Jamal, and what happened to them after they got out of office. Charles Bustamante. He was a United States representative for Louisiana's 3rd Congressional District until 2017. He's now working and co-chaired a United States-China working group. After leaving Congress, he joined the lobbying firm Capital Council, and he's a registered foreign agent now under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, representing United States-China Trans-Pacific Foundation. You follow what I'm saying? That's just one. John Boehner. Now, Jamal, you probably don't know John Boehner, okay? I know John Boehner. Understand? He was a former Speaker of the House, you know, right before Nancy Pelosi, all right? He leaves office. Listen to this. The former House Speaker joined Squire Patton Boggs after he retired from the House in 2015. The lobbying firm has long represented the Chinese embassy in Washington. Boehner serves as a strategic advisor to clients in the United States and abroad and focuses on global business development. He also helped to lead the effort to grant China most favored trading nation status in the late 1990s. You see why China did not want Trump? What is Trump doing? Trump is telling people leave China, bring those businesses back here. You follow what I'm saying? And trying to get China and people to recognize that China is not doing the right thing by this country. John Christensen is another one, United States representative from Nebraska. He left. He's working with the Chinese. David Feierstein, same thing. He left. And now he serves as a director of the University of Texas at Austin's China Public Policy Center. He's proposed forming a partnership between the China Public Policy Center and the China-United States Exchange Foundation. I mean, these guys, I've got more of them. Mike Holzman, Donald Purdy, an ambassador to China. Some of these guys are now working. It's all about money.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. Sounds like China has found a way to use one of our strengths as a weakness, which means take advantage of our capitalistic society and our greed, quite frankly, and use it against us. And people are selling out for money, man.
They're selling out, Jamal. Now, let's just be clear. Now, this was from 2018, I'm giving you, from an article. Let's fast forward. Dianne Feinstein, the guy that drove her around, her how limousine driver, same thing, Chinese. Okay, it came out that this guy, okay, had an issue. Let's just put it this way, and now he's no longer her driver. Why? Because it came out about him. Now, he's in the car driving around with her as she is speaking about different things. But I'm going to bring it even closer to home. This representative out of California, his name is Eric Swalwell, S-W-A-L-W-E-L-L. You guys can look this guy up. This guy, okay, is a prominent Democratic congressman from California. He has served in the House for 7 years, all right? And since 2015, he's been on the House Intelligence Committee, which is privy to some of the nation's top secrets. There is a woman from China that now they say she was definitely a spy. She left the country. She's gone, okay? Because this woman not only got with him, and supposedly, I'm going to say allegedly, okay, that they were dating, they were having a relationship, etc. She helped him financially, Jamal, move from a city councilman position in California to get poured money in his direction and got him elected to where he was. You don't think people ask for favors like that?
Wow.
Of course they do. And his family, Swallow's family, only as a couple of days ago, now remember, she's left the country. She's in China. All right? They just, what do you call it? Defriended? How do you say that when somebody takes you off of Facebook? Defriended or whatever it is. Eliminated her. You know, because why? Because now all this is coming up. So his family has been in touch with this woman all these years that she, after she left. And what they're calling some of this is the honey trap. Because China has an extensive honey trap spy network that could involve thousands of ploys underway. This is from information from people who are former operatives that are saying that this is what's going on. So China is sending these people out to these politicians. They're helping them get financially some of these positions. They're creating these personal relationships. And it's pillow talk. They come home. They're with this person. They may overhear them on the phone. They may be talking about it next week. Okay, I want to go into some more detail on this because there's some other considerations that we do have to think about. Okay? Now, remember, China is not a competitor. They are a predator. And we have to remember that. They're not a competitor. They are a predator. And we have to look at this a heck of a lot closer than we've been doing. So I'm encouraging the listeners to look at this, you know, a lot closer. And some of these people may not like Trump, but Trump saw through all of this. And he did his best in his years to fight against this. You wait and see what's going to happen with Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not going to have the same attitude. And with that, we're going to close out. Jamal, you got anything else you want to say this week, son?
No, I just want to tell everybody, hey, happy Sunday, man. Let's stay positive. Let's get through this week, man. And the holidays is coming up. And let's not forget to wear our mask and use our hand sanitizer.
And be sure when you have those masks, you need to eat. You're right. Okay, everybody. Hey, you've been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Be safe. Until next week.